Audio presents Private Empire, ExxonMobil and American Power by Steve Cole. Read by Malcolm Hilgartner. Prologue. I'm going to the White House on this. As the Exxon Valdez churned through chalky turquoise port waters toward the Gulf of Alaska, Captain Joseph Hazelwood descended to his quarters. It was shortly after 9:30 p.m. on the evening of March 23, 1989, and he had some paperwork to complete, he told his subordinates. He was a taciturn man, 42 years old, balding, about 6 feet and 180 pounds. He dangled the Marlboro cigarette he smoked on the corner of his lips. His father had flown torpedo bombers for the United States Marine Corps in the Western Pacific, and then served as an international pilot for Pan American World Airways. Joseph Jr. won admission to the elite State University of New York Maritime College. The carefree notation in his college yearbook read, "It will never happen to me." He scored 138 on an IQ test. While at sea, he read widely. In conversation, he quoted Stonewall Jackson and Oscar Wilde. He had by now sailed for the Exxon Corporation for 21 years, 10 of those as an oil tanker captain. He was attempting to recover that spring from what he would later call a midlife crisis. It had taken hold of him several years before. Long stretches at sea had caused him to miss much of his daughter's childhood, and this weighed on him. His wife, he recalled later, detected that I was moodier than I had been before. He drank heavily, 4 or 5 doubles before dinner, wine with the meal, then several doubles afterward. But he did not feel immobilized by alcohol. Even after such a drinking regimen, although he could detect a little clumsiness on my part, he didn't trip over any furniture and he wasn't blotto, as he put it. While ashore, he periodically drove while intoxicated, attracted the attention of police several times, and lost his driver's license. He sensed that he might be in some sort of descent. I didn't know what I was suffering from, if I was suffering from something. An Exxon supervisor told him, "If you've got a problem, take care of it." In 1985, he had checked himself into a New York hospital and underwent treatment for mild depression and alcohol abuse. Afterward, he attended Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, but continued periodically to drink. Exxon executives said that they had started to monitor his alcohol intake, prompted by incidents such as one in which the captain was overheard ordering beer over an Exxon ship's radio. But Hazelwood remained in service as a tanker captain and said he had no indication that he was being monitored by anyone. In the port town of Valdez on the afternoon of March 23rd, he drank what he would recall as 2 or 3 vodkas at the Pipeline Club before passing unexamined through the oil terminal gate and boarding his ship. The livelihood Hazelwood put at risk by his drinking was a privileged one. His salary at Exxon was about $180,000 a year, including benefits. He was one among many thousands of Americans whose incomes that spring could be traced in part to the work of a British Petroleum Geologic Field Party that had surveyed Alaska's Brooks Range, north of the Arctic Circle, in the summer of 1958. The Suez Crisis and turmoil in Iran, the latter partially engineered by the Central Intelligence Agency, had made plain to BP's executives that their oil holdings in the Middle East were politically insecure. Alaska's storm-swept seas and icy glaciers might look forbidding, but at least they were situated in a nation that welcomed private capital. American government surveys had suggested for years that Alaska's north was rich with oil and natural gas. BP was among the first of the major international oil companies to bear the uncertainties of the harsh climate and invest. By the early 1970s, it had established a large position as a leaseholder on Alaska's north slope. Transport was the major obstacle to maximized profits in a region iced over for months at a time. Oilmen had talked for years about wild-eyed schemes to build an overland pipeline from the Arctic to the south, but the project would require money and political alignments that seemed preposterously ambitious. Only another Middle Eastern crisis, the oil embargo of 1973, directed by Arab producers at the United States over its support of Israel, at last spurred construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System to carry crude 800 miles from Prudhoe Bay across permafrost to the ice-free port of Valdez. To finance and operate the pipeline, BP formed a consortium with Exxon's precursor Humble Oil and Atlantic Richfield. The first oil flowed in June and reached the Valdez Marine Terminal on July 28, 1977.